A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
It's no secret that in Hollywood, movie cameras love beautiful women. But when the cameras stop cranking and the years roll on, only a select few remain part of our national psyche and take on that mantle of icon. Marilyn Monroe did that. But the road to icon status was a tough one for the actress, who endured a difficult childhood and a rocky rise to fame. Sherry Zeck, Associate Dean of the College of Fine Arts at Illinois State University, says part of what makes Marilyn Monroe such an enduring icon is the fact that her life was cut short.
When someone has lived a long and fabulous life and made lots of movies or recorded lots of albums, there's a sense of completeness to that. And you can love the artist, you can enjoy what has remained of their oeuvre. But when there's someone who dies quite young in the middle of things, perhaps before they transition to what they will be at middle age or in their later years, then a space is left open that requires us to fill in with our imagination.
So is that part of the power of Marilyn, is the fact that we have invested so much of ourselves in her that we have a sense of ownership?
I think so. We tend to be caught as a culture in narratives of what if. What if we had met that day? What if I had gone to graduate school instead of getting a job? That those kinds of what ifs are things that we turn our brains around over and over again in lots of situations. It's a central animating idea or thought for us. When it comes to celebrities, of whom we make quite a bit anyway, when that what if can be employed, it allows us to develop a narrative about them. And there is a kind of possession that goes with that, from our imaginative investment in the narrative we've created, from the things that they did do that excite us. There is a passion that we have as a culture for those who are gone too soon, before we see how they develop, that then, as I said, we invest in figuring out what that development might have been for ourselves. Marilyn Monroe, you add to that the fact that from what we do know of her life, there seemed to have been a lot missing anyway. That the persona in her comedies, she was actually a fairly good actress and might have been a great one, but we didn't get much of a chance to find that out. Though if you look at her last feature-length film, The Misfit, she's quite good in it.
You know, the trouble is I always end up back where I started. Never had anybody much.
And she was a good comedic actress. We look at the films that she's in where she's playing these light comedies, these silly gals. You think of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, where she just wants to find a rich boyfriend and marry him for his money, and she's absolutely clear about that.
You must let me do something for you to show my gratitude.
Oh, thank you ever so.
May I kiss your hand?
I always say a kiss on the hand might feel very good, but a diamond tiara lasts forever.
That belies the really awful life she had as a child and a teenager, and the ways in which men continued
to use her,
to possess her in ways that were not encouraging her to become a fully realized human being on her own terms.
Well, she did want to be a better actress. You mentioned that she was actually pretty good, and she did a lot of work in order to better herself.
Mm-hmm.
She got involved with the Actors Studio,
right,
with Lee Strasberg. Marilyn was known to say that, yes, she enjoyed doing the light comedies, but she also wanted to explore dramas and find that element of her talent. Now, as we celebrate her 90th birthday, is it time that we do a reappraisal of Marilyn's talents, as we remember her mostly as a beauty icon, a glamour girl, a sex symbol? Do we need to reappraise her as an actress and look at films like Niagara or Don't Bother to Knock?
Such reviews of her work have happened before, and I think that there has long been a sense that she had talent. It's not like comedy isn't difficult, and her timing was terrific, and her ability to hold the camera is not just about being beautiful, I know plenty of people who are not necessarily beautiful, but in classic terms, but when the camera's on, something in them comes alive. And there's a talent in that too. So she had many talents. And if you look at something like Niagara or The Misfits, we see in films such as that a different kind of character that she embodies quite well. I'm not sure she demonstrates that she's a serious actress in that any more than in Some Like It Hot, but we at least get to see some variety and go, yeah, she can do it. Problem is, Misfits is not a particularly good movie, an important movie in film history, the last movie of Marilyn Monroe, Clark Gable, and my favorite, Montgomery Clift.
Yes.
The fabulous Montgomery Clift. But it's not a great movie in spite of being directed by John Huston. So even that is another kind of what if. What if the script had been better? What if it had been received better? What if more people had seen it? Might that have provided a change, not just in how we view her or how we think of her work, but in her own feeling of possession of her own career, which she never felt in control of.
She had a very tough upbringing, having to go through foster care, a mother who was mentally ill, a very early marriage. Is that part of our fascination with her, is the fact that she managed to rise above that?
Well, I think the fascination is the belief that she never did, that while she was enormously successful, she couldn't overcome the emotional trauma of that kind of life. And so there's this sense about Marilyn Monroe always that she's a tragic figure that in a way is less about her suicide than about never being able to get past the things that happened to her in her youth. But I think there's something really important here that needs to be said, is by and large, the public looks at her tragic life as that she was in a number of foster homes, that her father died, I think, when she was an infant, that her mother was mentally ill. The early marriage was, as I understand it, a way to get out of foster care. So that was her escape route. The public looks at her more or less control of these powerful men like Arthur Miller and Joe DiMaggio, who actually remained devoted, both of them remained devoted to her throughout her life, even after their divorces. I think the real tragedy of Marilyn Monroe, the real story of Marilyn Monroe, and this is one of the things that I think drew Gloria Steinem to write about her, is she was raped. She was abused. She wasn't just in foster care. She was sexually abused and traumatized. And when we look through that lens, then her life comes into perspective in a very different way as someone who was like many, most perhaps, women and men who have been abused at a young age. The rest of her life was about trying to feel like she was worthwhile and perhaps attaching herself to people whom she thought would make her feel so, and it didn't work because I'm not saying that the people around her bore no responsibility, but in her life, there was not the supports. There was not the opportunities to look at very honest and supportive ways at what that kind of trauma does to a person, how it molds you for the rest of your life. In a way, she was a woman born at the wrong time. If she had suffered these things 20 or 30 years later, after second wave feminism, there might have been more cultural support for her. She didn't have female friends. And that is something that many of us now recognize has been the key to women trying new things or even being able to make peace with their own circumstances, is the fellowship of other women and the understanding that many, many, many things that happened to Marilyn happened to other women. But she seemed to be in the jealousy network, not the support network. She didn't even have the opportunity to share experiences or get comfort from other people to whom this had happened. My guess is she probably didn't even talk about it in her lifetime. So the real tragedy of Marilyn Monroe is these horrific things that happened to her in those foster care situations, in those early situations where she was abandoned, where she was looking for someone to trust, and how somehow that kind of abuse, perhaps in a lesser form, let's say, was replicated throughout her very brief life. So the tragedy, when you look at that image of her looking wistfully into the camera is really of a life that was wrecked from the get-go. And so what if she was beautiful? Yes, she was beautiful. There were a lot of beautiful people. Marilyn Monroe stands out in cinema history as a particular kind of vulnerable beauty. And I think to some degree, the fetishization of her vulnerability is another refusal to recognize where that comes from. And it comes from a very dark place. Apparently, she was not a person who had many possessions. And she only owned her own house a few years before she died, I think. And the story goes that among the few possessions she had was an autographed photo of Albert Einstein.
Yes.
In terms of creating our own narratives, I find that extremely evocative. She was interested in redressing the fact that she never received an education.
She was a voracious reader.
She was a voracious reader. Of her own accord, as you mentioned earlier, went to New York to study with Lee Strasberg. Let's forget the public image. There are hints that she thought of herself as something quite other than what we think of her as. She read. She wanted to better herself with education, with challenging herself. She admired, let's forget the sex part, but she admired people like Arthur Miller. She admired people like Albert Einstein. She admired people like John Huston. What they did in response to her is their own thing. But she wanted to be taken seriously. She wanted to be taken as an educated, smart person. That's the specific of it. She wanted to educate herself. She wanted to be able to move among those men she was around as an equal. And I think that is a lesson for a lot of folks.
What about the future for Marilyn Monroe? Her icon status, is she going to be just as strong an icon years from now as she is today?
That is really hard to say. The world is changing so fast that we have a new pop star every 5 minutes. And the whole landscape for promotion of talent and images is so massive that cultural moguls are still trying to figure out how this to happen. It seems to me how to handle this. So it seems to me that we could go a couple of different ways. We could stop having icons that last at all. Or there is such a hunger for content in our interconnected world that movies and images and reimaginings of Marilyn Monroe could be recycled forever. So I really see it could go one of two ways. We could get much closer to Andy Warhol's Everybody Will Be Famous for 15 Minutes, or Everybody Will Be Famous Forever, because there's so much need for content.
That's GLT culture maven Sherry Zeck. The city of Palm Springs celebrates Marilyn Monroe's birthday every year with a fundraising celebration that highlights the actress's humanitarian work. I'm Laura Kennedy.